Hello, 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 everybody. How are you doing out there? I believe that God is blessing you real good and you are making it work. You're making it happen out there in the land of the living. Listen, I'm so excited. Pastor Mackenzie Kambizi of Progress on Purpose, coming your way in a very special way. I'm very excited today. I have done some wonderful sessions, wonderful counseling, wonderful empowerment and mentoring of some sorts. And I get happy and I get alive when I deposit and pour into somebody's life. And so at this moment, my friends, I'm so excited that we are going to have a wonderful time. I've got a pick-me-up word of training, empowerment and inspiration, just a word for life, how to just do life, get life going, progressing on purpose. I'm going to speak to us for this presentation I have this afternoon real quick. I'm going to speak on you can choose which one you want, from meager to mega, from meager to mega, or from less than enough to more than enough. How do I transition from less than enough to more than enough? How do I transition from meager to mega? All right, we're praying. Father, thank you so much for this moment. Give us wisdom that we need so that we can progress on purpose. Amen. Please share with your friends wherever you are. This is going to be real good. It's going to be real hot because it is powerful. How do I move from meager to mega? How do I move from less than enough to more than enough? Share on your platforms as we get in on progress on purpose. From meager to mega, from less than enough to more than enough. I just want to empower you, share with you, no matter where it is, whether you are trying to move from meager to mega, emotionally meager to mega, spiritually meager to mega, career-wise meager to mega, physically, it does not matter which it is that you want to move from meager to mega, from less than enough to more than enough. And I'm going to use, as you know, here on Progress on Purpose, we are practical, we are relevant, and it has to be biblical. So I'm going to pull these principles, three of them, three powerful principles that will move us from less than to more than, from meager to mega. And I'm going to pull this one from the story of the widow of Zarephath and Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17. And I'm going to read verse 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Okay, I just want to pull out of this story some things that I discovered today made me happy. And I had to shout all by myself because, see, I get happy when God gives me just life is a privilege to me. Everything in my life is a privilege. Everything is a privilege. And when you have that mentality of making everything a privilege, you're going to discover that your joy is unlimited. Your opportunities are unlimited. I mean, it is when everything is a privilege, it shifts and changes your worldview. And my friends, you who are here with me, I do not take you for granted. It is a privilege that somebody else has to simply park their lives and listen to another person pour into their lives. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. Here it is, 1 Kings chapter 17, and from verse 10, it says, "So he arose," that's Elijah, "and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, 'Bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink.' And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, 'Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand.' And so she said, 'Well, listen, I got the water. But as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die.' And Elijah said to her, 'Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth.' It happened as the man of God said." And I just want to say to us, when you look in the story, the widow of Zarephath had meager resources, I mean, she just had, listen, when he asked for water, she said, "I can get you that, even though we are in a drought." But when he said, "Bring me a piece of bread," sister girl had to remind him, "Look, as the Lord God, your God lives, I want you to understand, I have water, but I don't have bread. In fact, I have a little flour, and I've got a little oil, and I'm going to gather a few sticks. Everything is so meager and small. And Elijah says, you go and do what I told you, and then go back and do more for you and your son. I want to talk to somebody right now. It's a pick-me-up word, powerful for your own life. Wherever you are, thank God for wherever you are. Let's start right there. Thank God for wherever you are. Whatever conditions that surround your life right now, whatever is happening in your life right now, let's start right there. Thank God for wherever you are right now. The story says she was at the gate of the city collecting sticks, and Elijah came to the gate of the city. Let me tell you something, my friend. There is a miracle wherever position you are, physically, emotionally, spiritually, socially, financially. There is a miracle that can only happen in the position and place where you are right now. So the very first thing to do is for you to thank God for the place where you are. If she was not at the gate, she would have never met Elijah at the gate. She had to be at the gate because Elijah was coming to the gate. Number one, stop diminishing where you are. Stop looking down where you are. There's something about the place where you are that the miracle God can only function and do in your life can only happen because you are where you are, and because you are under the conditions that you are under, because God is not limited to your conditions. If God puts you there, it means God has got something for you there. I want you to understand that, my friend. Listen, I know you don't like it. I know it doesn't look good. Yes, it doesn't look likely. But let me tell you something. God is everywhere, but he is nowhere unless he finds you somewhere. God is everywhere, but he is nowhere if he doesn't meet you somewhere. So you need to thank God for the somewheres where you find yourself in. Because whilst God is everywhere, he is nowhere when he doesn't meet you somewhere. So thank God for wherever you are, my friend. Share this video. Share. I'm about to just blow up. Here it is. I want to give you something from meager to mega, from less than enough to more than enough principles of life that will progress you on purpose. Number one, focus. Focus, number one, focus on your resources, not your obstacles. If you're going to move from meager to mega, from less than enough to more than enough, number one principle that matters from the story of the widow of Zarephath, focus on your resources, not your obstacles. All right, well, look at the story. Here it is. Elijah says, hey, go get me water. She said, I'm going to go get that. He said, go get me bread. And the girl said, listen, I just wanted to understand, I don't have bread. But here it is, I don't have bread. And I love how she puts it. She says, listen, I do not have bread only. Here it is. While she didn't have bread, here it is, she focuses on her resources, not her obstacle. It was an obstacle to have bread for this man of God, but she focuses on her resources, not her obstacle. She says, listen, I do not have bread. That's my obstacle. Only a handful of flour and a little oil and a couple of sticks. In other words, I do not have bread, but I choose to focus on my resources, not on my obstacles. So I want to challenge somebody who is out there. We're saying, Pastor, there are some things I don't have. There are some things, oh, here it is. Don't focus. Focus on your resources. What do you have? Number one resource is that you got life, my friend. You got life. As long as you are breathing, there is hope for you. As long as you are breathing, there is hope for you. For the dead have no hope. The dead is over. As long as you can feel the pain, there is hope for you. Focus on your resources, not your obstacles, if you are to move from meager to mega. That matters. The widow of Zarephath said, listen, man, I want you to understand, I do not have bread, but I got some resources. All right, here it is. Jesus asked Philip, Philip, can we feed this 5,000 men? And Philip focuses on his obstacles. For Philip said, Lord, even if a 1 year salary would not get it done. But Andrew comes in and Andrew says, Lord, there's a little boy over here with some little fish and some few cupcakes that he has. If you are going to move from less than to more than, you must focus on your resources, not your obstacles. For Esther, her resource was her beauty. Her obstacle is that she was an orphan. Her obstacle is that she was born, her parents were dead when she was young, but her resource was her beauty. The whole book of Esther is written because Esther had the resource of beauty. I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you today to just but list the resources you have. If you have a degree, that's a resource. If you have a high school diploma, that's a resource. If you have life, number one, that's a resource. If you have a friend, that's a resource. If you have a church, that's a resource. If you got the Bible in your hands, that's a resource. You need to focus on your resources, not your obstacles, if you are to move from meager to mega. Because whatever God is going to do is going, he is going to do it through the miraculous move through your resources, not through your obstacles. Are you ready? Come over here. Let me talk to you a little bit. You remember Lazarus was in the tomb, and then Jesus said, listen, take me there. And then Mary and Martha started focusing on the obstacles. Lord, he has been dead. Lord, he now stinks. Lord, there's a rock on front of the tomb. And Jesus said, listen, man, you got to believe me. Believe me. I am your source. Not only my resource, I am your source. Don't focus on your obstacles. Focus on your resources. And you're going to discover that life is going to become something else. I want to challenge you, child of God. It doesn't matter what position you are in, doesn't matter what condition you are in, you have more resources going on for you than the obstacle that you're focusing on. Whatever you focus on, you magnify. Whatever you focus on, you magnify. And let me tell you something, child of God, God is not going to do greater through what you don't have, but God is going to do greater through what you got. What do you have in your hand, Moses? Lord, you know me. I'm afraid of Pharaoh. He's my obstacle. Well, what resource do you have, Moses? I have a stick. Throw it down. It became a snake. Oh, my God. What do you have, little David? Well, Goliath is experienced. But what do you have, little David? I've got five rocks and a rag, a sling, and God will work with that. So if you're going to move from meager to mega, from less than to more than, number one, you must focus on your resources and not your obstacles. Don't tell me what you don't have, because listen, what you don't have, you don't have. What you got? Let's work with what you got. See, I remember, can I say this? Listen, I'm feeling something. Here it is. I've got to just want to empower somebody. I remember there was a generation of my grandmother. And some of you, your grandmothers as well. Once upon a time, there was a generation among humanity that used to make everything because through what they had and not through what they didn't have. What do I mean by that? I remember my grandmother could make cakes, different cakes. They were different every time because she made the cake based on what she had available. The cake was what it was based on the resources that she had. She never focused on her obstacles, but she focused on her resources. If she didn't have an egg, the cake was going to be a little bit harder. If she didn't have butter, then it didn't smell like it should have been. But grandmother always made it work because she focused on her resources, not on the obstacles that she had. And there's a generation that's coming up now, a generation that cannot bake a cake, Terry, because you don't have eggs. People who tell you, I cannot bake a cake because I don't have milk. Well, you're going to learn to focus on your resources. If you don't have milk, here it is. What is it that you got? What can we do with what you got? That's what God is asking you to do. Pastor, I don't have the degree. Pastor, I don't have the master's. Pastor, I don't have the doctorate. But what do you have? Pastor, I can read and write. Well, let's get into it, because there are so many people who could not read and write. And some of them never went to school, and yet they are multi-millionaires. There is a lady called Fantasia. I love my girl. She can sing like crazy, but she cannot read. She cannot read or write. There is my boy who is literally bad news. His name is Floyd Mayweather. The man, he said that he cannot read or write, but he is one of the most powerful businessmen in the world. Focus on your resources and not your obstacles. Oh my God, here it is. How do I focus on this, Pastor Kandizi? Glad you asked. Three questions you must ask. Three questions you must ask in order for you to focus on your resources and not your obstacles. Three questions you must ask. Number one, you must ask yourself this question. And You find it in the text. You find it in the text. It's right here in the Word. It is, number one, you must ask yourself a question. How can I use my existing resources to develop better partnerships? As you focus on your resources, not your obstacles, ask yourself this question. How can I use my existing resources to develop better partnerships? What does that mean, Pastor Kambizi? The little flour and the little oil to the widow of Zarephath without partnership with Elijah was not going to produce the miracle. So yes, you've got resources. Yes, you are beautiful. Yes, you are pretty and beautiful, Terry. We know that. Yes, you are intelligent and powerful and all the stuff that you got. But you need to ask yourself as you focus on the resources that you have and not the obstacle, ask yourself this question. How can I use my existing resources to develop better partnerships? Your resource needs collaboration. You are not going to become what God wants you to be alone. If God is in it, it's going to involve more than you. You need to partner with somebody else's gift. You need to partner with somebody else's need. Elijah needed food. The lady needed, he needed life to keep on going. So in other words, Elijah needed bread and the lady needed provision through the drought. And she had to give the little she had to Elijah, who needed just bread, so that Elijah could release the provision that she needed. Oh, I'm talking to you today. I'm ready to talk to somebody here. It is from meager to mega, from less than enough to more than enough. Principle number one, focus on your resources, not your obstacles. Three questions you must ask. Number one, how can I use my existing resources to develop better partnerships? You are not going to become all of it alone. Come over here, Moses. Yes, Pastor, I'm right here. You're here. God called you. Didn't he call you? Yes, he called me, but I needed Aaron and Joshua. Come over here, Jesus. Yes, I come, Pastor. I'm the Savior of the world, but I needed the 12 disciples and an inner circle of Peter, John, and James. Come over here, Paul. Oh, Pastor, you know me. My shadow could heal people wherever I went, but I needed Titus, Barnabas. I needed Timothy, and I needed Cyrus. In other words, how can I use my existing resources to develop better partnerships? You're going to expand and multiply who you are based on how you use your existing resources to develop better partnerships. Question number two. What do I have now that can help make my life easier? Ask yourself that question. What do I have now that can help make my life easier? For the widow of Zarephath, what she had now was a little flour and a little oil. That's it. For the widow of Zarephath, it was a little flour and a little oil. For David, it was little five stones and a sling. For Moses, it was a stick, and that's all he had. And that stick did miracles beyond where they could go. For Esther, it was physical beauty. The girl had it together in place, and she was beautiful face and form. And the question is, what do I have now that can help make my life easier? All right? So you need to understand, if you're going to move from meager to mega, you got to focus on your resources, not your obstacles. What do I have now that can help make life easier? Then third question is you need to ask yourself on focusing on your resources, not your obstacles. Number three question you need to ask under that. What am I already doing that will help me connect? What am I already doing that will help me connect? All right. Look at the text of 1 Kings chapter 17. And it says in verse 10, listen to this. So Elijah arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, watch this. Indeed, a widow was there already gathering sticks. The question, what am I already doing that will help me connect? The connection was through what you was already doing. What are you already doing? You don't have to undo what you're already doing. But if you're going to move from where you are to where you must go, from meager to mega, from less than enough to more than enough, you must ask yourself a question. What am I already doing that will help me connect? What does that mean? Let me talk to you. This is progress on purpose, okay? We teach the how-tos of life. It is. It's very important for you to understand that God will never, how do I put this? Any experience that you have gathered in life is for something that God is going to do through your life. God will never throw away your experience. It doesn't matter what the experience was, whether it was before you were saved, after you were saved. God is going to use whatever experience that you have for His glory. So when you focus on your resources and not your obstacles, ask yourself three questions. These are very important questions. How can I use my existing resources to develop better partnership? How can I use my existing, that the widow of Zarephath already had little oil, already had oil, but she had to know how to use it for better partnership. When Elijah said, go make me bread, if she could have simply said, forget that, she would have been disobedient and therefore she would have lost it. But she, when Elijah said, give me bread, the lady says, I don't have bread, but I'm going to focus on the resources that I have, little oil. Well, however I quantify it, I got it, and it can work. Little becomes much when God is in it. So number one, how can I use my existing resources to develop better partnership? It's so amazing on this one. Listen to me, child of God. It's so amazing on this question that many of us, anybody who you are dating or anybody that you are marrying, you dated them and you married them because you were using your existing resources. You can use the existing resource of your beauty to get a bad boy into your life, a bad girl into your life. Isn't that amazing? That anybody who you dated or you are dating or you are married to, they are in your life because you use your existing resources to develop a partnership. Now, be intentional now with the resources you got. Can you imagine what success you have when you do that? And then number two, what do I have now that can help make life easier? There's something you have right now. Some of you, it may be soft skills. You know, you got compassion. You have patience. That's a resource. Some people go to school to learn how to connect with people, and yet you connect with people easily. You make friends easily. Some people need a degree in public relations when you have got a doctorate of public relations without going to school. So you need to start now. List all the resources you got. And this is the bad, the ugly, and the good. Everything in your life is a resource. Because even a dead Lazarus was a resource for the resurrection doctrine. Everything in your life is a resource. Even your height is a resource. Zacchaeus was short, and he had to run and climb the tree, and Jesus came to the tree because Zacchaeus, everything is a resource. Your sin is a resource. If it were not for your sin, Jesus would have never died on the cross. Oh, you're not listening to me. In the redemption story, the only resource we bring to the story is our sins, and because we sinned, Jesus had to die. He had to be born. He had to live. He had to be crucified so that we could be saved. Everything is resource. All right, so here it is. Number three, well, what am I already doing? Ask yourself, what am I already doing? What are you already doing that will help you connect? All right, now here's principle number two. So principle number one, focus on your resources, not your obstacles, okay? Then you have those three questions. And then mega to mega, from less than enough to more than enough. Principle number two is, you need to believe, always believe, that there's always a door somewhere waiting to be opened. You got to believe that. You got to believe, you got to make up your mind that there's always a door somewhere waiting to be opened by your obedience. Let me put it this way. There's always a door somewhere waiting to be opened by you following instruction. Do you know that you are one instruction away from the greatest breakthrough in your life? The widow of Zarephath was given one instruction: go and make bread for me, and then make bread for you, and you never hunger anymore. If you cannot be tested, you cannot be trusted. Many of us are where we are because we cannot be tested. Many of us, we are where we are because we cannot follow instructions. Adam and Eve sinned because they could not follow one instruction. God said, don't touch the tree, don't eat from the tree. And because they could not follow one instruction, all of humanity is doomed. Abraham had to follow one instruction: take your son to the mountain and crucify him. And when you kill him, and when he followed the instruction, God gave him the ram caught in the thicket. I want to challenge you, child of God, for you to move from meager to mega, from less than enough to more than enough. Whose instruction are you not obeying? That's the key to more in your life. I've discovered that many of us are just one instruction away. Even the disciples, when Jesus came to call them, he said to them, listen, they had spent the whole night in the sea and they'd not caught nothing. And they came in, and Jesus, here comes this stranger, and Jesus said to them, you know what, launch into the deep and cast your nets to the... Are you kidding me? If the disciples had said, we have experience, sir, we cannot do what you're saying, and we spend the night, and now you want us to catch the fish during the day. You need to understand, Jesus, they don't come during the day. That's why we fish at night. But thank God they were willing to follow one instruction, and that instruction changed their lives. Do you understand that as they were obeying the instruction of Jesus? It's not written. He is the creator of everything in the sea. And as they obeyed God, the fishes everywhere had to obey, because God was about to do a miracle. And because they obeyed what God said, the fish had to obey what Christ was actually doing. Whilst they were obeying, the fish came from everywhere. The fish were not caught. The fish brought themselves in, that the nets were about to break. You are one instruction away from your breakthrough. The widow of Zarephath's life was changed because of following one instruction. So, child of God, whilst you should not, you know, don't focus on your resources, not on your obstacles. Number two, always believe that there is a door somewhere waiting to be opened by your obedience to an instruction. There's so many people who say, Pastor, you know, I really want this, I really want that. Let me tell you something. Every blessing has an instruction to it. Every blessing has an instruction to it. If you want to lose weight, there's an instruction that somebody's going to give you to lose weight. If you are not obedient to that instruction, then you cannot get the benefits of those who obey the instruction. And many of us, we know what we want. We just don't want to follow the instruction. And yet we're in love with the benefits of the obedience to the instruction that we are disobedient to. Oh, God. So you can move from meager to mega if you're willing to follow instruction. All right, let me finish it up. Number three. In fact, before number three, number two. There's always a door somewhere. You got to believe that. You got to believe that. As long as you wake up in the morning, you're breathing, you're alive, you listen, you got to believe there's always a door somewhere. There's always a door somewhere waiting to be opened by my obedience to an instruction. So, Pastor Kambizi, how does that work? Well, I got to learn to do what I can. Learn to do what you can. Learn to do what you can. The widow of Zarephath said, I don't have bread, but I'm going to do what I can. I can make you one, but I don't have bread, but I can do it. Learn to do what you can. Tell me what you can. So learn to do what you can with what you have wherever you are. That's the principle right here. Learn to do what you can with whatever you have, wherever you are. What is it that you can do? What is that you can do? What is it that you have? And what can you do with what you have wherever you are? You always have something. And if you are willing to do whatever you can with whatever you have, wherever you are, I'm telling you, you move from meager to mega. Then the last one, then I'm out of here. Last one, then I get out of here. When you look at the story of the widow of Zarephath, and Elijah said, now, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. He said, yeah, do not be afraid. That's what he said. That's what he said. Where is that? In verse 13, he said, go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake first. Bring it to me afterward. Do it for your... And verse 14, listen to verse 14. It says, for thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bean of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. Listen to me. This is a very powerful verse. You listen to this. The bean of flour shall not be used up. Underline that. The promise was not the bean of flour shall be filled up. God promised that it will not be used up. In other words, it will remain the same and it will never increase or decrease as long as you follow what God has done. And he says the jar of oil shall never run dry. It doesn't say the jar of oil shall be filled up, but whatever you begin with, God is saying, I will seriously make sure that whatever you bring to the equation and partnership, it'll never run out. It'll always be what it was, but the miracle is in it not running out. Here's number three. Number three. If you had to move from meager to mega, move from less than enough to more than enough, and you are progressing on purpose, we're talking of intentional growth in 2021. Here's the last one, then I'm out of here. Dwell on possibilities. Dwell in possibilities. Dwell in possibilities. You must have a possibility mindset. All right? This was a promise of God to this lady of Zarephath. Okay? And you need to understand, Elijah's telling her, listen, girl, if you're going to obey, go and cook a cake and bring it to me. Listen to this. If you're going to go cook the cake, bring it to me first, then cook it for your son, and then you and your son, and God says, it's not going to run out. It's not going to dwell on. Here it is. For the widow of Zarephath to obey, she had to have a dwell in possibilities mentality. Dwell in possibility, in possibilities mentality. So don't tell me, Pastor, you don't know. You don't know my story. I don't need to know your story. I need to know your mentality. If you dwell in possibility mentality, then all things work together for good. You need to understand all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. We don't know how God is going to do it. We don't know when God is going to do it, but we know it's going to work together for the good. All I got to do is to hang around so that I can watch out and see how God is going to do it when I dwell in possibilities. So child of God, I'm done. I'm out of your way now. And I just want you to understand that you can move from meager to mega. You can move from less than enough to more than enough. The story is 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 10 through 14. Number one, focus on your resources, not your obstacles. Ask yourself questions whilst you're doing that. How can I use my existing resources to develop better partnerships? Collaboration is going to get you where you're going. I mean, listen, it doesn't matter how gifted you are. Your gift needs the involvement of others. And you need to understand how you use your existing resources will help you to develop better partnership. What do I have now? You need to take an inventory of what do I have now that can help make life easier. The widow of Zarephath had an inventory of her pantry. And she said, I have a little oil. I've got a little flour, but you know what? And that's what I got. What do you have now that can make life easier? And number three, what am I already doing that will help me connect? What is it that you're already doing that will help you connect? People talk about, Pastor, I'm going to start all over again. No, you don't start all over again. You never start all over again. Because when you say I'm going to start all over again, it means you need to rewind yourself and rewind every circumstance that has produced who you are right now. Don't you understand? You can never start all over again, but you can begin with wisdom again. It's not starting. You're already in process, and then you choose at that moment to let wisdom guide you forward. So what am I already doing that will help me connect? Whatever you're already doing right now can help you connect. There's someone somewhere in the world who needs a partner with who has the qualifications of what you're doing right now. There's somebody somewhere who needs you. And then the second principle is that there's always a door somewhere waiting to be opened through the my obedience to an instruction. What does that mean? Do what you can with what you have wherever you are. And then number three, child of God, dwell in possibility. There's a difference between dwell on possibility. I don't want you to dwell on possibilities. I want you to dwell in possibility. You got to be in it. It has to be part of your life. It has to be a lifestyle of possibility thinking. Okay, you got to have a possibility thinking stuff. Pastor, we broke up. He broke my heart. And whatever, I lost my job. Well, you better dwell in possibilities. In other words, cry sometimes, but get up, dust up. Let's keep moving because we are always on the move. So I know that you're there. And I know that you're saying, wow, Pastor, why me? Why did God put this on your heart? Because we are progressing on purpose. Life is about progress. And if we progress on purpose, we are going to accomplish more. My friends, I'm so grateful. I do not take you for granted. It's a privilege that you came in on this platform with me today. And if you haven't subscribed to my YouTube channel, please do so. Pastor Mackenzie Kambizi, Progress on Purpose. My podcast, same thing. Pastor Mackenzie Kambizi, Progress on Purpose. I appreciate you. And we're going to meet here tomorrow. I've got something very powerful that I want to share with you tomorrow as we prepare for our upcoming revival, week of revival, miracles in my dead places. God is going to take us there. We are praying. Father, thank you so much for this moment. Bless us and keep us. Please, we pray that, Lord, you may give us the wisdom to apply. Give us the wisdom to apply this wisdom in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Blessings on you, my friends. Thank you so much for the opportunity to allow me to minister to you. We'll meet again tomorrow, same time. Keep on dwelling in possibilities. Blessings on you.